Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, December 2nd, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. I've got a fantastic show for you today. Actually, a really great follow-up for the focal point we had yesterday of rampant lawlessness and impunity, which could just be an overarching theme for this entire show all the time, but it's definitely a good follow-up for what we're going to get into today, all the different topics that you're probably not hearing about mostly in the mainstream media today. Allegations of, well, this part you probably are, but allegations of civilian deaths in Syria that, guess what, come directly from the white helmets, but what you're not hearing about is the other side of that story. We're going to talk about drone strikes in Afghanistan that are killing civilians, yeah, but that's not included in that discussion, of course, with the mainstream media. And Pompeo is sending a veiled threat, as I see it, to Latin American nations that, you know, don't do as they're told. We're going to get into all of that today, but three things I want to begin with today that I wanted to point out to you, one of which I wanted to just put out there for you to do your own research on, to look further into, that I found very, very intriguing, very interesting. Now, it's something small that I discovered that's actually not new. Somebody sent this to me, and apparently this has been around for so many weeks now. For whatever reason, it seems to be coming back up the last so many days. And I looked into this myself, and I want to find out more about this, but I found this just far too relevant to not discuss, at the very least, as I said, to point out for you to look further into. Now, here's the story. Wrong fuel caused plane crash that killed Nampa surgeon. Well, it seems innocuous enough when you just kind of glance at it, but it becomes very interesting once you find out who this person is. Well, it turns out this is Dr. Daniel Greenwald. He was, in fact, one of the pilots who were approached over being a witness in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Oh, you just had to see that coming. And he apparently, even more so, flew medical supplies to Haiti after the 2010 earthquake, which is very interestingly tied to the Clinton discussion. I mean, this is very, very interesting to me. And this is completely being, you know, I mean, you could see obviously why the media would not make this connection. They don't want to do the work for you. But this also could be absolutely nothing. That's why I'm interested for more people to dive into this to find out more. But the point that I always make is that we're not allowed to ask these questions. Oh, it's interesting that a plastic surgeon that is connected to Jeffrey Epstein just suddenly his plane crashes in a very suspicious way. He also had connections to guess who, the Clintons, and to Haiti, of all things. I mean, it seems far, far too interesting to not at least be discussed. And here's another article with a very similar, the title says, renowned Florida plastic surgeon and experienced pilot, who he was, who flew medical supplies to Haiti after the 2010 earthquake, which to me, it just screams that there should be more to this, is killed when his small plane crashed in an Indiana soybean field. Now, as I understand it, the argument is that he made the mistake and told them to put the wrong fuel in, but as they make the point that he's an experienced pilot, again, it could just be what it seems like. Or, as many people are suggesting, maybe this is the person that gave Jeffrey Epstein his plastic surgery and sent him off to the rest of the world, and this is why we don't no longer see him. But this is just, there's nothing to back that up as far as I can tell. But this is interesting, and this is called evidence, data points that go along with the story. It proves nothing yet, but it's necessarily interesting. The one of the pilots who was approached over being a witness in the Jeffrey Epstein case and also a plastic surgeon just suddenly disappears in a very suspicious way as an experienced pilot. So I'll leave that for you to continue to look into. But it's just amazing how many things around these stories and even in discussion of the Clinton body count continues to just pile up, pun not intended. And no one seems to point it out other than independent media. And remember, that's the same independent media, the same exact independent media that was calling this story 10 years ago, before then, while the media was calling us conspiracy theorists, and then 10 years later report the exact same information as breaking news without sourcing the people who were talking about it 10 years ago. This story just never seems to go away. And I think this is the kind of part that they don't want you looking at while they're continuing to give you little tidbits of things that discuss, oh, here's some video from Epstein's house. And well, he's dead, so it doesn't mean anything. We knew he was a bad guy, and now we're just showing it because now it's coming out after he's dead and they're not going to go after anybody else. Anyway, this story can go on and on. But I'm interested to find out more. So if anybody has more about this topic, if you can find more about him and connections we can talk about, then I will discuss it. But other than that, so far to me, it just seems like an interesting discussion to point out for you guys to look into further. Now, this next one I wanted to point out quickly, just to make a kind of casual point, not even give you my take on this, but really just to point something out to you, because this is a big story that's important for you to pay attention to. Coming from Associated Press, UN predicts disaster if global warming not checked. Well, this is just so incredibly important that we cannot ignore. But maybe it's a little more interesting once you've taken notice of the date. Oh, look at that. 1989. How interesting it is that the United Nations predicted that that entire nations would be wiped off the face of the earth if global warming, the trend at the time, was not reversed by, guess when, the year 2000. Now, as you know, if you watch this show, I have never tried to pretend that humanity, primarily Western nations, are not having a catastrophic effect on this planet. I think that's apparent to anybody with a brain and a pair of eyes. But the point that we have to recognize how politicized this topic is. And even to the point to where you could argue that it's not what they say it is. But that does not equate to we're not harming the planet, right? That's how these two things get muddled together. There's very, very much politics involved here. And how can we not recognize how many times they've said this? The world's going to end in 4 years if we don't do this. And if that doesn't change, and the world doesn't end. Of course, I'm sure they would have an excuse for why this is. Yes, we are destroying the planet. But this topic is very dishonest. And I'm hoping people can pay attention and hear the first part of my sentence and not only hear the second part and jump down my throat about it. Because it's important that we are very skeptical of all things. Now, one last thing I wanted to show you that I just thought was important to discuss today that seemed, it seemed almost too perfect for the video that so basically I put up my clips from the show yesterday. As many of you know that I do, and on a side note for those that don't know, every single day I put up clips from the show from yesterday, you know, into the breakdown of the segments, 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 20, so people can share the individual parts of the show, don't have to watch the entire hour, even though most people tend to watch about an hour in a row, but that's another topic. But I was making those clips today, and I put up the one in regard to the topic I did yesterday about Israel and how perfectly how the mainstream media ignores all the things that they're pointing out in other countries that are happening in Israel. And guess what happened to that video? Yep, it was restricted. It's just like they had to make my point for me. And it just literally says, due to the community guidelines, that that specific video, which was entitled Mainstream Media Openly Ignores Israel Carrying Out All the Same Crimes That They Breathlessly Report About Elsewhere. And then they censor that. And the video had nothing, it was me talking and showing clips just like this show is. There wasn't even any video. There was nothing at all that was even slightly a violation of their community guidelines. As you know, I don't speak in hyperbole. Donald Trump's the one that does that on a regular basis. But all the things that they continue to claim are nothing was in the video is the bottom line that they could have struck me for. Except the image, I argue, of the video that I used, which was simply a man holding up which we know was a dead body of his son, but it was wrapped inside of something, and there was no graphic imagery at all. Of course, the suggestion is that there was a dead child in there, but that's not a violation of the guidelines. This is newsworthy that children are being killed by Israel. That's the Israeli government. Right? That's newsworthy when it happens in places they want to talk about, but apparently it does. It's not even allowed to be discussed because it violates their delicate sensibilities when it's about someone they don't want you pointing to. But you can take a look at the video yourself. Actually, I think I forgot to include the link to the video, but you'll see it in the channel and I'll try to include it when I'm done. And you can see for yourself that it doesn't violate anything. And they literally made my point for me that they are not allowing that topic to be covered as even though they discuss the exact same thing against the U.S. adversaries. It's just so offensive, and you should recognize how aggressively they are trying to control your perception. Now, let's get into what's going on today, and let's begin with Syria. And, you know, how if you only listen to the mainstream media, you would only get a very deliberate one-sided story. Nothing new there, but let's start with that one-sided story from what they're saying about what just happened in Syria. This is coming from it's one of these groups, and this is not somebody that you should be listening to. This is a group that is just as suspect as the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But this is this group, at least in this case, and I would argue most times, essentially just blindly regurgitates what the White Helmet said. Yeah, which is basically what all the Western governments do, blindly regurgitate. And by the way, we know right now that they lied about what happened in Douma. I've already shown you they lied about what happened in a lot of different places. But we can prove, even on a mainstream level, even though they're trying to deny it today, that the White Helmets blatantly lied and manufactured a false flag to allow the U.S. government to get more involved, whether they were involved in that or not. They lied about what happened in Douma. Fact. And here they are yet again, blindly regurgitating what the White Helmets want you to be told. Or rather, I would argue what they, the governments that control them, want you to be told. But this is how it always works. And this article that you're looking at, the only thing you see in the entire article is one paragraph. And all it says is at least 10 civilians, including two women, were killed as Syrian regime fixed-wing warplanes fired missiles on the middle of the Hal Market in east of Marat al-Numan city of the southern suburbs of Idlib governorate on December 2nd, 2019. Today. That's it. No source, no link to where it came from, just a blatant state, just a blank statement of here is what happened, nothing to back it up, and you're just going to blindly take it because Syria bad guy. And guess what they don't tell you, which you can find out, just briefly look into this, it comes entirely from the White Helmets. This argument, again, the claim that these civilians were killed, and I'm not even saying that that didn't happen. I'm not even suggesting that Syria didn't bomb or that civilians might not have been killed or might have been killed, but the point is that it entirely comes from a group that has verifiably lied to the world about this exact kind of thing and carried out and tied to plenty of terrible groups. I don't understand how this can continue, that we can have the verification of that and people will still blindly follow it. Now, I understand why the media and the government continue to lie about it, but it baffles me that people will continue to ignore the evidence and blindly take the word of people that they think they can trust, but have been proven to have lied repeatedly. I mean, that's like the definition of insanity. But not only do they blindly trust a group that has been proven to be linked with terrorist organizations, the White Helmets, as well as Oregon and human trafficking, which people like Vanessa Beale and the United Nations has reported on, but they also ignore, guess what, the exact same crime when, of course, committed by the good guys and their extremist proxies. This next one is coming from RT, and this was written by Vanessa Beale herself, and this is entitled... And about the same exact topic here, not the exact same event, but the general topic of civilians being killed in this same time frame. This was written today, entitled Atrocities by Terrorists Against Syrian Children Ignored by Western Media Covering Conflict from Comfort of Offices Elsewhere, making the simple point that people like her and people like independent journalists are going on the ground into Syria and finding out what's happening, as opposed to blindly taking what these proxies are saying on the ground. That's not journalism. That's propaganda. Now, as it says, a recent report compiled by the U.S. coalition's primary anti-Assad, quote, evidence producers, the White Helmets, has condemned the alleged Syrian-Russian targeting of civilians in Idlib. Now, by the way, it's alleged that they were targeting civilians and then killing civilians is also alleged, but we know that they are striking these areas. They are fighting back to take their country back from an illegal occupation. So they're more so than anybody else in the situation, are completely justified in their actions. Does that mean it's okay to kill civilians? Obviously not. But in a situation, and just, it's, you know, the best way to make this sound not biased in people's minds that may disagree with this, just flip the situation. Let's say it was another country that was doing the same thing, invading into the United States. Let's even say they were doing so with the claim of fighting terrorism and they were invading into Texas, right? And the United States then started bombing them back and saying, no, you can't. Let's just say they occupied Houston in Texas, took the whole city. And of course, there were civilians, some of which were being held against their will. Some that just said, you know what? Screw it. I'm not leaving my home. And they stayed in Houston. And all of a sudden, Washington started bombing Houston. Well, of course, because they want to take back their territory. And who would even blame them for it? And let's even say that the U.S. did everything in their power not to hurt civilians that they weren't sure were there or not. And suddenly people started dying. Now, obviously, this would be painted by the media as an effort that had to be done and the civilians weren't their fault and it was an accident. I mean, it's just like they continue to say, whoops, like the U.S. said, whoops, we killed 30 pine nut farmers in Afghanistan, our bad. Or just like Israel just said, whoops, we just killed an entire family. We thought they were bad guys, our mistake. You don't see the same discussion happening that way. Ask yourself why that is. The point being that Russia and Syria are legally correct in their ability to fight back against an occupation. But you could argue that they're not caring about the civilians, which could be possible, or that they just don't know that they're there, or that these terrorists are putting them in front of them. But regardless of the context, they're the only ones that have a legal right to be doing what they're doing. In the reverse of the situation, you've got the people being backed by Western governments who are doing the exact same thing and killing civilians and killing children, and they just don't care about that part of the story. So you can see how dishonest this whole thing is, and this is exactly what Vanessa Pilley is trying to say. Now, as she points out in the article, she says, in familiar fashion, The Guardian, of course, accepted the white helmet version of events without any fact-checking or verification, because that's what good journalists do. She says, the 9-year war, now, by the way, notice it says monitors, right? Oh, because that's good journalism, blindly saying what the white helmets told you to say. Now, it says the 9-year war that has ravaged Syria has been externally fomented and financed by belligerent states whose primary ambition is to topple the Syrian government and to return Syria to the Dark Ages under an Islamic extremist regime that would be compliant with the regional plans of the U.S. alliance. Now, the point there to recognize is how some people think that's so crazy to hear. So you're telling me that they want to create the Islamic extremists, but aren't they scared of terrorism? That's the illusion here. How do we not see that every single country they stomp through ends up creating exactly what they say they're trying to fight against? Of course, it could be all coincidence, or it could be the fact that they're claiming to be fighting these things while in fact creating them, fomenting them, and using them as the justification to continue to occupy more countries. Seems to help. See, regardless of whether that's actually what they planned, that's what has happened. We have to see that. And that's why you have to recognize that they are creating this in order to use it as the justification to continue the war against Syria. So as she says, they're trying to create an Islamic extremist regime that would be compliant. Now, it doesn't have to be Islamic extremists in other places we're talking about. Look at places like South America. They're trying to, or Bolivia is a perfect example, where they're simply just putting someone in, as she said at the end, that are compliant with regional plans of the U.S. alliance. That's what it comes down to. Now, in the Middle East, they utilized people that probably believe in this ideology, some of which pretend to, and they use it to, I mean, think about the way religion has been used throughout history to manipulate people. It's the same exact topic. Now, it's even better because they can say, ooh, Islamist terrorism, everyone's scared in the United States of it, and then they can justify taking away your rights and passing more laws and continuing their march against the world. Now, the Western media consistently omit this entire aspect of the war. I'm sure you know why. While they, as she says, cry crocodile tears over the senseless death of children, subsisting under the tyranny of the moderate rebels, a ridiculous term that is used to conceal the fact that, as we pointed out so many times on this show, as Brett McGurk said himself, that Idlib is the largest Al-Qaeda safe haven since 9/11, bought and paid for by members of the U.S. coalition. But they just leave that part out. Now, these belligerent governments that she speaks of, and you know the ones, and of course their lapdog mainstream media, are more than willing to ignore any claim or report of civilian deaths, as long as they're committed by the side that they're backing. Yet children caught in the crossfire of a legitimate Syrian military campaign to rid its territory of armed extremist gangs and ethnic cleansing mercenaries backed by the United States, or even the allegation of such a death, is relentlessly discussed on repeat by the mainstream media, whether or not it can be verified. As Vanessa put it in her article, Western media filling their reports on Syria from safe offices. Filing their reports on Syria from safe offices in New York and London ignore atrocities committed almost daily against children and civilians by terrorists in Idlib. Yeah, the same terrorists that are backed by these people that these media organizations are covering for. So where's the Guardian's outrage, their horror, their condemnation of these atrocities committed against innocent children and civilians by the Western-backed extremists in Idlib? I guess they just missed that part. And if you're sitting here right now thinking to yourself how wrong I am, well, you should know better by now that I come prepared with examples. This coming from Press TV, oh, wait a minute, 8 children among 11 people killed in Turkish shelling on Syria's Aleppo. Yeah, that also happened in the same time frame. So wait a minute, so that's even one more person we're talking about here, right? Turkish military forces have claimed the lives of at least 11 civilians, at least, including 8 children, and an artillery attack that struck near a school in the northwestern Syrian province of Aleppo. And here's the most insulting part. The so-called Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, as I've pointed out before, the one-man band t-shirt shop in London that all of mainstream media tends to lean on whenever they want to make some up, you know, just make Assad look like the bad guy. Well, that's one of the groups that reported today that the shelling took place in the Kurdish-held town of Tal Rifat as students were leaving the building and left 21 others injured in the process. So one of the very outlets that was reporting the previous story, really take that in, the one that they're only telling you about in Syria where 10 civilians were killed, in this case it's 11 at least, one of the very outlets that was reporting that previous story, which again was sourced back to the White Helmets alone, is reporting that Turkey killed 11 civilians. To nobody, apparently, because the media won't pick up that story. Which is even one more than the other story. I mean, really recognize that. And yet The Guardian, or the rest of mainstream media, somehow didn't care about that story. And only reported the unverified claims of the White Helmets. Do you know why that is? Well, you should by now, because it can be used to progress the agenda. I mean, you cannot ignore how obvious it is in the same day, in the same country, for crying out loud, that Turkey, of all people, can kill 11 civilians, and then we can have allegations of bombings that killed civilians in a terrorist-held area, and they ignore the 11 killed by Turkey and just scream about the unverified allegations against the person they're trying to overthrow. It could not be more obvious. And these groups, by the way, The Guardian and whoever else, they regularly cite the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, yet they just happen to ignore this one. Now, why would that be? It has to be pretty damn obvious by now what's really going on. Now, even more interesting is the fact that Turkey, at least at the moment when they were reporting on it before, was something that they were really concerned about, right? Because they were using that at the moment to justify the continued occupation of Syria, right? But now that that's kind of established and they're stealing the oil and they don't care anymore and more troops are going in, well, now Turkey's back on the good side, at least for now, because they obviously don't care to report about what they're doing. Now, if it had been back then, well, clearly they would be saying, ooh, 11 civilians, Turkey's doing bad things, we have to go back in. Obviously, it's just a double standard. You can't see it. You have to be able to recognize how willing they are to just ignore blatant information as long as it doesn't suit what they're trying to sell you on. Now, reports say that the Turkish offensive, in general, has so far killed 218 civilians, including 18 children. But apparently that's no longer matters because, well, they're on the same page now. So those crimes that they were bleeding about are no longer an issue because Turkey's okay. You know how the Taliban is now speaking with Trump again, so now they're good guys again. And Haftar is now, it's so funny how I made the point yesterday that they just, simply because of where they stand, the person becomes a good guy or a bad guy. Their actions remain the same, which should really show you what's going on. Now, the fighting by Turkey has also wounded more than 650 people. And, of course, meanwhile, to make the same point, actually, more U.S. airstrikes kill more civilians in Afghanistan. And all of it, of course, was completely and willfully ignored by the mainstream media. This next one is coming from Anti-Media, and this is entitled, U.S. Drone Strike Kills Family of Six. An entire family in Afghanistan, including children. And I guess The Guardian missed that one too, right? Because that wasn't discussed. While we're only talking about White Helmets allegations from Syria that they can't prove, here's an absolute fact of a story where the U.S. drone strike kills a whole family in Afghanistan. But I guess that was just a mistake as well. I wonder what's going to happen to, you know, well, they can't even compensate anybody because the whole family's dead. So it's pretty frustrating to see that these kind of stories just get completely ignored. And as I've pointed out every time I've talked about Afghanistan, which it will never become irrelevant as long as this is the case, it is right now the most violent war in the world. 76 people die a day, mostly due to strikes just like this from the U.S. government, most of them civilians. How in the world would that not be discussed? If it's the most violent war in the world that's been going on for 20 years, and at the end of the 20 years, it's the most violent it's ever been, that should be a huge story. Unless they're covering and they're just lapdog media and not actually journalists, which I'm sure you already recognize. This is ongoing as they try to get you to look where they want you to pay attention so they can carry out their ongoing globalist agenda. Now, with this U.S. drone strike against an Afghan village in Alashir Coast province, destroyed a home, an entire home, killing an entire family of six, which including multiple children. Now, the Coast Provincial Council confirmed the incident themselves and are also criticizing the matter. Now, the Pentagon had initially claimed the incident killed three Taliban fighters. That's unusual. Coming out and pretend, oh, well, we killed bad guys, of course. Always is said at first in hopes that people go, oh, okay, we'll just ignore all of the evidence of everything else and blindly take you at your word. But of course, they said, oh, well, we killed Taliban fighters. But the Pentagon has actually since come out and confirmed, not confirmed that they recognized they were wrong, but have come out and now confirmed that then at the beginning, they were, quote, aware of reports of civilian deaths, saying that they are working with local officials on this. So they just came out knowing that they were confirmed reports of civilian death and just said, we killed Taliban anyway. The same Taliban, by the way, that they're in talks for, you know, in peace talks right now. It's just disconnected. It does not make any sense that they can one day be dealing with them in peace talking. And here they are bombing, they're like claiming to bomb Taliban fighters and killing an entire family. And now Trump's in peace talks with them again. This is impunity. This is what happens in a place where nobody's held accountable. Places like Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq and all these countries that are just playing grounds for these people to test their weapons and carry out operations and steal resources. It's horrifying. Now, the U.S. killing civilians and insisting that they have killed fighters has been an ongoing problem for decades in Afghanistan and elsewhere. While the Pentagon often agrees to joint inquiries into the reports of civilian deaths, they rarely publicly resolve these matters with statements on what actually happened, which is exactly like what we see in Israel and Saudi Arabia, where they say, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And as long as nobody actually comes back and looks into it again, they never talk about it again. But of course, if you come back and probe it, well, then they have some kind of an answer. But other than that, you'll never hear about it again. And as we're discussing, of course, the double standard of killing civilians for freedom versus killing civilians for terrorism, or at least the allegation of terrorism, and the way that one is ignored and the other is used illegally to invade countries, this next article is part of that willful ignorance. And it has to do with Afghanistan as well. Now, this is entitled, Mother of All Bombs Caused Illness, Ruined Farmland, according to the residents there. And it's disgusting that this can continue to happen throughout history. That these groups that are in, not just the U.S., by the way, but groups that can pretend to be doing good around the world and ultimately doing all the bad. It's really something that has to begin to materialize with all the stuff that's happening today. Now, the mainstream media, of course, ignoring the lasting repercussions of U.S. government crimes, is nothing new. It's something that's been there forever. I mean, we've talked about Agent Orange in Vietnam. We've talked about depleted uranium in Iraq. We've talked about white phosphorus everywhere. All these things are completely ignored with lasting effects on the populations. Like the depleted uranium in Iraq is horrifying. So is Agent Orange in Vietnam. People, and they don't, nothing, this is, they act like that almost didn't happen unless you probe into it. And then of course it's just, well, we didn't mean to, right? Now, almost 2.5 years after the United States dropped the mother of all bombs on what they claim was an ISIS hideout in eastern Afghanistan, which, you know, this is that bomb that, as I've told you before, which is not a secret, it's easy to look up, that Donald Trump didn't even know was launched. He was informed that it had been used after the fact. You know why? Because Donald Trump gave them that authority on the ground. Just handed over his authority as the commander-in-chief to the general on the ground to make those decisions to literally launch the largest non-nuclear bomb in his arsenal. And when I told this to Trump supporters when it happened, they said, that's not true. That can't be true. He would never do that. And then it turned out to be true. And they said, well, he's got good reason, right? That's, of course, that's how it works for those people. But they claimed that they bombed an ISIS hideout. And now the locals there are saying that they have been afflicted by all kinds of diseases and agricultural lands are not yielding crops, which to me does not sound like a normal bomb. But how can you tell that at this point unless somebody actually was willing to go and investigate? Now, the bomb itself, which again was nicknamed the mother of all bombs, the Moab, is one of the most powerful conventional non-nuclear weapons in the U.S. arsenal. That's according to the U.S. Department of Defense. Now, the Moab is a concussive bomb, meaning it detonates above the ground rather than penetrating hardened defenses, which you can understand why then it would make so much of a negative effect on the ground and their crops and what the people are saying there on the ground. Now, apparently, as they report, anyone within 300 meters will be instantly vaporized. So you can only imagine how many just innocent people might have been around there that were just instantly vaporized for no good reason at all. And this is according to experts. And they say that, well, those in a 1 kilometer radius outside ground zero will be left deaf. An entire kilometer radius around this bomb left all kinds of people deaf, apparently, if they were within that radius, which is just crazy. Standing back and recognizing that that made absolutely no difference on anything. And according to most people on the ground, it didn't actually do anything. That it was just something that they did to make a statement. Now, I can't confirm that. But recognize that it's still happening. The war is still going. People are still dying. So clearly it didn't do anything. Now, the residents there said that the bomb has ongoing lasting effects on the area to this very day. Now, I really want to know what was in this that was used that was causing such things, because just a regular bomb, and maybe I'm incorrect on this, shouldn't be causing such disease and skin rashes and all the things they're talking about. Now, as they said, quote, many diseases have emerged in this area after the bomb was used. Most of them have skin problems such as acne and skin irritations, according to the locals. Now, if somebody wants to inform me on this and tell me that regular bombs do this and have this kind of lasting effect, then I'll talk about it. But to me, that doesn't seem connected with a normal bomb. Now, it says, quote, this bomb has three effects. This is according to the military affairs analyst. And he says, first, it impacts the eyes. People will feel irritation in their eyes. Second, it impacts their inner organisms of the people who breathe the air when it's been used. It also impacts pregnant women and newborn babies. Afghanistan is a laboratory now. Third, it has impact on the lungs. Now, that is horrifying. Understand, if this is what the plan was, how is this okay by anybody? That these are civilian people that are living in this country that are having to deal with this after the fact. And if they knew that this was the way it was going to happen, how do we justify that? How do we as Americans stand behind this and go, yep, that's something that we support? I argue that that's the only reason people support this is because they don't know that that kind of stuff is happening. And you know why they don't know? Because the mainstream media refuses to report it. And of course, since we're speaking of glaring hypocrisy here and double standards, there's no better segue for Mike Pompeo himself. And this next one is coming from Reuters. This is a doozy. Pompeo says U.S. will help prevent Latin American protests from becoming riots. Well, okay, from face value, that sounds like a pretty normal thing to say, but it only gets, you understand what he really means when you find out that he's saying that he will only help legitimate governments. Oh, okay, so he's only going to help the ones that he deems to be legitimate. So it's the same exact thing. So Mike Pompeo has said that he will help, quote, legitimate governments in Latin America in order to prevent protests from, quote, morphing into riots, right? Because that's not something they're involved in at all, right? So they somehow have control to stop it from going back or that way. They just want to help, right? They're just good-natured people that want to just step in and help where they can, but only the legitimate ones. And we're going to decide who those are. So Pompeo made the comments while delivering remarks at the University of Louisville today. Now he declared that U.S. policy in Latin America is based on, quote, moral and strategic clarity. Meaning, he said, Washington, quote, cannot tolerate regimes it deems unsatisfactory in the region. Oh, so that very quickly became, it went from we want to help stop riots to we're going to decide who is allowed to be in this area. And then we're going to somehow then at the same time stop riots, but then not if they're not legitimate. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. This is a veiled threat, as I said. To immediately go from, if he just simply said we'd like to help countries stop their riots, and even if he just added the legitimate part, that would still not even be as bad. But for him then to just basically say that the whole strategy is based on a moral strategic clarity and that they can't tolerate anybody that's not within that and of course they're setting those parameters, so I highly doubt it's moral or strategic, but they just get to say that, and they cannot tolerate anybody that's in that unsatisfactory area. And of course they're going to continue to do what they want against those countries, which just has to be implied. They're not just saying this. If they cannot tolerate their presence, they're just going to express that and walk away. We've seen very clearly what the U.S. does when the U.S. government does when they cannot tolerate unsatisfactory regimes in their area. Now, what's funny is think about this in reverse, right? Which is what I always try to do, which is always what anybody honest should do. Imagine if any other country just woke up and said, we can't tolerate the U.S. regime in my half of the world, and said, well, because we just say that, and because we claim we're doing it for good reasons, we just get to do things to you. It's the only reason that somehow makes sense in reverse is because U.S. good guy. Well, that guy, bad guy. As I say every time, because that's literally what it comes down to. And if you can really understand how rudimentary and how ridiculous that is, hopefully some people will begin to see the reality of the situation. Now, Pompeo said, of course, that protests in Bolivia and Chile and Colombia and Ecuador reflect, quote, the character of legitimate democratic governments and democratic expression, and that governments in the region should respect that. All right, so here's how ridiculous that is. Of course, Bolivia, Chile, we're talking about groups that are having massive protests right now against the U.S.-backed governments. And he's not saying that this is a very crafty statement to say that those people protesting against their government, not that we recognize that they don't want that illegal government there, but that the fact that they're doing that shows us that that government's legitimate. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, that in no way equates to those two things, but that's just him saying that. Right? I mean, that you could equate two completely unrelated statements and just doesn't make them the case. You just because those governments want because these people want those governments gone, well, those governments are legitimate. That's not what he's saying, but it's the same kind of thing. It's just, this is a way to manipulate what you're looking at. And of course, he only points out Bolivia and Chile and Colombia, and because these groups that they're obviously invested in. He actually says, quote, we'll work with legitimate governments to prevent protests from morphing into riots and violence that don't reflect the democratic will of the people. But of course, he only chooses which ones to step into when it suits his agenda, right? Because the protests that are happening in places they want to happen, well, that reflects the democratic will of the people. But if it's the same thing happening, we'll just call it violent here. Well, in Bolivia, that doesn't reflect the democratic values. It's just entirely subjective. And of course, we know that they're the last person we should trust when it comes to their subjective opinion. Now, Pompeo added that the U.S. will, quote, continue to support countries trying to prevent Cuba and Venezuela from hijacking those protests. I mean, this just can't get more stupid when you hear the very people who are engineering the hijacking of protests to, again, and point to the countries that they want to overthrow and in countries in which they are hijacking protests and say that they're the ones doing it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's classic propaganda. Accuse them of that which you are guilty. And this is a classic tactic. I mean, are we really pretending that Venezuela and Cuba are hijacking protests in Bolivia and Colombia? I mean, it's possible, but how does that in any way benefit them? I mean, you could argue that they want the U.S. government out of there, and that may make sense. But it's very, very clear that you can see that the people don't support these governments. I mean, if they did, Venezuela, Maduro wouldn't be there right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. And if the people supported Bolivia's fake government that's there, they wouldn't be protesting through the streets. And that wouldn't be being ignored by the mainstream media. It's ridiculous for him to say that we're going to support people that want to, you know, that want to democratically protest, except in Venezuela and these places and those ones, because those are bad guys. It's just juvenile. I mean, I cannot see it any other way. Now, he has the nerve to say all of this in the midst of a U.S.-backed and created coup in Bolivia, one in which the opposition leader simply declared herself the interim president, as sounds exactly like what we saw in Venezuela, right? So the nerve to talk about freedom and democracy in the midst of creating an illegal regime change, and then in the midst of that illegal regime carrying out massive violence against the people. It's just stupid. Now, Pompeo's statement simply means that the U.S. will encourage violent protests and regime change where it deems a government to be illegitimate, but of course then also work to quash anti-government sentiment in countries that it sees as obedient allies. Completely subjective and has nothing to do with what the people actually want. This is him standing up and pretending to be altruistic and basically threatening everybody and saying, if you don't get on our side, you're going to be one of those people that we don't support, which means we're going to manufacture protests in your country and use it to overthrow you, which is what we've done over and over and over throughout history, and nobody can deny that. Now, while the U.S. wholeheartedly supported the Bolivian coup, just like they wholeheartedly supported the Venezuelan coup or the attempted coup, as well as the coup attempts in many other places that we've talked about, it has all but ignored the massive anti-government protests in Chile, where it is actually blaming malign Russian and Chinese influence. Not that the Chilean people, you know, just are unhappy with the U.S. created government that doesn't support what they want. No, it's not that. It's just that Russia, bad guy, China, bad guy. They're trying to take away the U.S. influence in this country. Now, as I just reached out to Whitney again, as I've been following up for you guys to know about, and this later this week, we're going to discuss what's going on in Chile. And it's a perfect time to do so, because it seems pretty clear that this is a legitimate protest fighting against a U.S.-backed government, which is exactly why they don't want you to see it. If they actually just cared about the will of the people, they would report on all these equally. But they choose to ignore, just like the story in Syria, what they don't want you seeing. Now, in both Venezuela and Bolivia, Washington supports the unelected, self-declared interim presidents, and then names it democracy in action. Now, Pompeo concluded by saying there remains an awful lot of work to do in the region, right? Because that's all that's theirs to take care of, right? Referring to Latin America as the U.S.'s backyard. He also warned against predatory Chinese activities in the region, which is certainly probably true. But he then claimed that they lead countries to make deals with them, that they seem attractive but are bad for citizens. Right? Or is it that they are attractive for China as well, and that's just not okay for the United States? It's exactly why Donald Trump is now casting tariffs on South American countries. You know why? Not because they're doing something wrong, but because they're working with China, and that's just not okay for the United States. There's no illegal activity going on. They just can't allow their adversaries to benefit unless they can benefit as well. I mean, that's childish at the end of the day. Now, no one is trying to suggest that China is not doing terrible things in their country. But as you can see, just like with Russia and Venezuela, they stepped in. And yes, they did something that obviously benefited their country. But they did it in agreement with Venezuela's government. And they did it to the benefit of Venezuela as well. Now, I don't think any government's going to step in and do something just completely altruistic. I find that completely impossible for governments today. But what you see on one side is the U.S. government just claiming that they have a right to do what they want and screaming freedom and humanitarianism and just forcing overturning governments and killing people. And then you got the other country stepping in and doing something because of that and doing it to the benefit of the country, but also for themselves. And they scream bad guy. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, here are the malign actors in Chile that Mike Pompeo would have you believe do not warrant your support, while telling you that the open murder of civilians and the arrest of politicians and journalists in Bolivia is again democracy in action. It's just never been more obvious, at least to me, who the genuine bad guys are today. And it's not the American people, but rather those who have deceived them, along with many others around the world. It is, however, on the shoulders of the American people to have the courage to do something about it. Thank you for joining me today. As always, please help me get this out to people that might not otherwise see it. If you'd like to support the channel, there are links in the show notes to do so, as this channel is 100% people-funded. And if you'd like to buy a t-shirt, a Question Everything t-shirt, there are links in the show notes to truthclothing.io that goes directly to support this channel. And you can wear a t-shirt that shows people that what we should be doing, questioning everything. But thank you so much for your support. I love you guys. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years. Starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.